Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
Well, so much for OPEC's best-laid plans. To paraphrase an old saw, oil prices are what happen when you've been busy making plans. Joining us from our London bureau this morning is Christopher Sell, editor of the Bloomberg Brief Oil Buyer's Guide. Good morning, Chris. Aha! Maybe our skepticism wasn't so far off after all. This morning, we're watching crude falling further, more than 0.8% in both New York and London. WTI, $53.35 a barrel. Brent, $55.88. Seems U.S. crude stockpiles are at record highs. Never mind OPEC's hard work to slow the flow, huh?
Yeah, they must be tearing their hair out, mustn't they? I mean, it's pretty much what we're saying at the moment. We've been saying for quite a while. We've got this sort of tango, if you like. Two people are playing off against each other. You've got the floor put in by the OPEC agreement, which is holding, to all intents and purposes. The compliance seems to be somewhere in the low mid 90s, which is fantastic if you're an OPEC producer. But on the other side of the Atlantic, you've got U.S. stockpiles. As you said yesterday, the EIA numbers showed another record high. You know, I think they grew by not a lot, 1.5 million barrels a day, but that took them to another 35-year high of something like 520 million barrels. So they're not going down, and that is causing real concern. And the whole point of this OPEC deal was, frankly, to try and draw down global stockpiles. And if you've got 500 odd million barrels just sitting in the US, that's not working for you, is it? So it's a frustration. But this game is going to be played out for several months. And 1 week's data is bearish, which clearly yesterday's were. But next week, who knows? I mean, we've got, U.S. production also rose, didn't it, actually? So it's gone over 9 million barrels a day, so that's not great. But at the same time, we see Bloomberg data shows that Saudi Arabia's shipments of crude actually dropped in February from January. So they're trying their very best, if you like. They're trying to reduce production, and they're reducing their exports, which is great. On the other hand, of course, you've got Iraq, and their exports have actually risen month on month in February. So you've got games being played all over the world, frankly.
So it seems as easy as just kind of turning up the spigot here on this side of the Atlantic. And tell me if that explains this story that we've got from ExxonMobil, trading in long-term projects that pump oil over decades for U.S. shale drilling that can be switched on or off as crude prices change.
Well, it's not necessarily a surprise. Everyone's talking about the Permian as being, it's like the go-to basin this year. It's just pulling out so much oil, and frankly, for not a lot of money. People have seemingly worked out how to do it quite cheaply. They're producing more now than they were when oil was $100 a barrel. The producers there have got much smarter, and they've worked out how to do it much cheaper. And it's an obvious play for companies such as Exxon, who, as you said, usually specialise in the sort of the long-term multi-billion sort of dollar projects, to divert some money, which they're dedicating half of their 2018 drilling budget to shale, to sort of cash in, if you like, and get some quick money in there. And it makes sense. The Permian's going to keep producing. Depends who you speak to. Analysts have various ideas of how much shale production is going to produce this year. Some analysts say up to almost 1 million barrels a day of growth.
Sounds like a no-brainer to me. Huh?
I think you're right. It does, and it makes sense.
Chris Sell from Bloomberg Brief, and you can read Chris's analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletter. Sign up now at bloombergbriefs.com, or for terminal customers, use the function Brief Go.